Hey everyone, it's Rob here from Aravaipa, and we are back with another Cocodona 250 post-race interview. The inaugural 250-plus mile race happened earlier this month, and since then, I've spoken with several Cocodona runners about their adventure from Black Canyon City to Flagstaff, Arizona. Today's episode is a conversation with Shelby Farrell. She is an incredible runner living in Southern California, and you might recognize her from the pre-race interview series that was actually hosted by her. She also wrote some blogs for us on the Aravaipa Running website leading up to the big 250 miler. And she was also all over our live stream. She's the media megalodon over at Gooder Sunglasses, and we caught up with her throughout the course of her race, so you'll probably recognize her voice. This was her first 200 miler, and she is already gearing up for the next one, as you'll hear in today's conversation. So anyway, let's jump right into our post-Cocodona conversation with Shelby Farrell. Shelby, how are you feeling? You're about a week out after your big finish at Cocodona. How are the legs? How's the mind? How's the body?
Yeah, legs are good. I actually went for a bike ride on Tuesday, which was crazy. I think that, it's really like coming down from this ultimate body mind high is what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And I want to dive into like everything about the race for you, obviously, because, you know, you created a lot of content for us from a blog perspective and also from the podcast. But I want to kind of chat about it all. I just want to dive into like a little bit of your background and tell us about who you are and like what you do inside of running, outside of running. Just let the listeners know who is Shelby Farrell.
Yeah, Shelby Farrell is a content creator, a runner. I started running in, we'll say 2013-ish with my first marathon, and then just started signing up for longer and longer races over the years with varying goals, and kind of became, addicted to running like a lot of us do. And as far as content and stuff outside of Gooder or outside of running goes, I work for Gooder as the media megalodon. So helping our digital marketing team get media placements, writing ad content, placing ads, all of that fun. And I found this through a passion of writing. So I'm a freelance writer on the side, hence how I got involved with Aravaipa and creating all those fun blogs leading up to this event.
Yeah, and you also obviously have a big background for like kind of like adventurous style stuff. I mean, you are no stranger to racing, but you also have tackled a couple FKTs more recently. You want to talk a little bit about your FKT experience?
Yeah. So the Santa Monica Mountains are my home stomping grounds, and they're beautiful. If you're ever out in Southern California, LA County area, go explore them. You're getting ocean views and then just this awesome mountain lion fun territory to run in. And so after running the Javelina 100 in 2020, I needed my next goal, and that became running the 68-mile long Backbone Trail. I think it's technically 67.79, but GPSs are always slightly off, as we learned during Cocodona too. So I ran the Backbone Trail for the first time January 1st this year in its entirety, and got the supported time by the skin of my teeth after learning that navigation is crucial, and you better be keeping that Gaia GPS downloaded, because a few of my pacers and myself missed some turns. Great learning experiences, but still got it. It was taken from me 7 days later by a badass named Bree. And I realized in that moment, I wasn't done with that trail. So about a month and a half later, I went back and ran it self-supported, like unsupported, no food stash anywhere. There's a few water spots along the way, but I had to really carefully plan how much water I was carrying when to get through without getting dehydrated. And that run, at that point, I didn't know that I was doing Cocodona, but I had been dreaming about doing Cocodona. And I think that run was ultimately my biggest training run learning experience leading up to Cocodona, because I had to run with so much weight on my back and really be mindful of food and water consumption, because it was just me out there, you know, no crew, no husband checking in on me at trailheads, just charging through. So yeah, ran that in 15 hours and some odd minutes, which was slower than I had anticipated. I think, again, like underestimating carrying all of your own supplies. And even just, you know, the morale factor of having people out there cheering for you. So good practice.
Yeah. I mean, good practice for a lot of efforts, but I would imagine some of that helped you with Cocodona. So let's jump right into the big beast of a race that was. I mean, obviously you're getting pretty immersed in that race through your content creation for us with the blogs and obviously interviewing a handful of athletes before. So what was it like training for that race? And I know people can go back and like read your blogs and hear on the podcasts, but like, could you give us like a quick overview of how you were then shifting your focus to get ready for Cocodona? You know, living in Southern California, it's a lot different than obviously the diverse course that Cocodona is. So what did your training strategy look like?
Yeah, definitely check out my YouTube channel, Shelbs F with 2 Z's, and you can see some of that training strategy in video form. But it was, for me, keeping it really varied and not getting injured by CrossFit, spin class, and just like doing the cross training, getting on my bike and riding hills, while also increasing my mileage and spending a lot of time on trails, because that's what we were running on. You know, I've trained for 50 milers, and even when I was training for Javelina, I was not doing as much trail running, but that makes a big difference. And not to mention, I'd rather be in the trails. But in creating the content, I was able to really, it forced me to dig into the runner's guide probably a little bit earlier than I would have normally. So I was able to get excited for different elements of the course, talking to so many different athletes about their approaches to this race was inspiring and just gave me, I think, a pretty well-rounded picture of what I was about to get myself into, to the best that any of us could, because this race was a giant mystery.
Yes. I mean, it was definitely a mystery for all of us. Obviously the course ran almost 12 to 13 hours slower than we thought for like the winning time, and it was hotter and we needed more water than we even thought. So let's actually just jump in then to that opening section, which actually you were cruising through, which I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, I think that it's not like it doesn't get hot in Southern California. And obviously you've been putting in a lot of vert training, but you know, that opening section where you're in the Sonoran Desert and then climbing up into the Bradshaws up and over Lane Mountain and then down into Crown King, walk us through that first 37 miles.
Yeah, I had so much fun the first day. I mean, I balled out and it was great and I don't regret it. Within the first 10 miles, I was running with a family of cows. So that was amazing. I mean, I had a baby cow with a little cacti stuck in his leg, and eventually a bull got behind me, and that was a little unnerving. But I got to that first aid station, and as I approached, sorry, this is a tangent, but it's worth it. The cows had like veered off, and I was just so hyped because I just ran with cows for about a mile and a half. I mean, who gets to do that in the Sonoran Desert with cacti? And like, nobody was around me. It was such a cool way to start the race. And I get up to the aid station and I'm like, guys, I just ran with cows for a mile and a half. And they were like, okay, cool. Because the cows were out of sight at that point. And as I was leaving, the cows came back and I heard everyone go, oh, cows, yay, and whatever. It was just a really fun way to start my morning, and was able to hook up with Jamil for the first part of that climb. So getting some of the insight of the area around me, he was just a resource of knowledge, pointing out, you know, different vantage points. That was exciting. And I ultimately was prepared. I carried about 4.25 liters of water and probably a little bit too much. I would have liked more water versus electrolytes in that section. So, you know, something to take away, but it was enough liquid to keep me fueled. And I just kept eating and felt really good. I was able to share water and share food with someone on course. And yeah, so when I finished that and felt great, obviously getting to Crown King was just this epic high. You finally get to see your friends and pacers. And I rode that. I had a beer and a Red Bull and ran into the night with excitement. And really channeled my spirit animal, the mountain lion, for that first night and just ran because it felt good. And
I keep bringing this up in all the podcasts that I've been doing or the interviews. I have to bring it up again. Speaking of mountain lions, you didn't see any in that one section. I mean, basically to where you're talking to, all the way up to Camp Kippa.
No, I didn't. We did see a coyote at one point and a cool snake, but no mountain lions.
That's crazy because so many people, I mean, when I say so many, I mean more than a handful of people, which is a lot. Mountain lions are super elusive, as you know. And there were lots of sightings in that area, kind of between Battle Flat and Camp Kippa near Arashtra Creek. So there was like tracks and there was a mountain lion and cub. So I maybe they just felt your energy out there. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. I'm sad I missed them, but I was pretty in the zone, so I'm not surprised that I missed them.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you looked in the zone. Like every time we checked in with you on the live stream on the Gooder Cam, you were just always in great spirits. It was hilarious. When your husband Jason was behind you, just fist pumping, he looked like he was having just as good of a time. So talk about that second day. You know, you came through Fane Ranch and it was obviously starting to get really hot. What was day two like for you?
So I think that's where, you know, you start to get into the unknown zone. I hadn't slept until probably 26 hours in was when I finally laid down for an hour and maybe slept for 30 minutes in that hour. And it was just uncomfortable. That's where I, you know, like we discussed, having never gone over 100 miles, I really didn't know what my sleep strategy was going to be. I was going to listen to my body, and I really tried to do that. However, I think chilling out a little bit sooner would have benefited me. Day two was, it got hard. It was hot. I was exhausted. I thankfully was able to keep eating and drinking throughout the entire thing, which, you know, just knowing that you're not being nauseous, number one, feels great. You know you're eating, you know your body's functioning. That mentally was motivating. And it was a lot of one foot in front of the other day two.
And then, so where did you spend night two? Were you then probably coming through Sedona at that point?
Yeah, I should have pulled up the map. I definitely got to a point in this race, Rob, where I was just, I didn't really care the name of the location that I was in. I was just enjoying my scenery and happy to be at the next spot, you know? I definitely took a good sleep in Jerome. I think that was the first time that I like got a solid rest and woke up feeling almost like a new person. And to, you know, change your clothes and put a new metallic temporary tattoo on, that's empowering, like in that moment, you know, like, yes, new day, here we go. The next kind of thing that happened was, I believe on day three, running through Sedona, it was hot and I was really loving the ice. I loved the ice so much that I was putting it everywhere, down my shirt, down my pants, and where I went wrong, in my socks. I put the ice in my socks because it made my ankles feel great, which were starting to get sore. However, I did not know that you would get trench foot from running in wet shoes for a day. So,
is that what happened? Did you start to get the early signs of that? And explain what that is.
Well, I'm definitely not a doctor, but from my Googling after the race, what happened was the night of day three, my feet were just starting to really hurt and I had no idea why. There was this great downhill section that I couldn't run and it was pissing me off because I love running downhill. So at some point in the night, like sunset, I know that my crew was expecting me sooner than I had, like things had just started to slow way down for me. I eventually sat down on the side of the trail and took my shoes and socks off. And in the light of my headlamp, it looked like somebody had put a wet white grocery bag around my foot. And the bottom of my foot was just white and wrinkly and just looked super scary. So that was something. My pacer actually did a crazy heroic thing and took her own dry socks off and gave them to me to put on. So that happened. And she put on my nasty wet socks after wringing out some mud and ice water.
Oh, really? I probably would have just went barefoot in the shoe, but kudos to her.
Yeah, she's a hero. Emily Sweats on Instagram. Definitely the girl you want as your pacer. And it was wild because in the moment, I know I wasn't thinking like, this is disgusting. It just was what we needed to do to make sure my feet didn't get any worse at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happened. I took a little snooze when we got back to whatever was after that section. I guess it was after Sedona, and dried my feet out because they needed fresh air.
Right.
And the medics taped them the next morning and I felt better. But for the rest of the race, it was hitting up the medics to facilitate blister popping and fresh tape.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So then that was probably right before you made that climb up Kasner Mountain. Was that how you started that time after that?
Yes.
So then you kind of had a fresh taping on the feet, to tackle the Coconino Plateau.
Yeah. And Kasner was great. I had Jason as a pacer for that section. And I had just found this song, called Totem by SDS9. And I highly recommend listening to it. It's pretty trippy. I listened to it on repeat probably 10 times during that climb and was doing sort of what I had done on day one. Was like, it felt good, so I'm going to move fast. And as a result, burnt myself out a little and took a few trail naps before or slightly after getting to Turkey Butte. I did enjoy that climb with some SDS9.
That's awesome. So then what was the remain? It's like getting to Fort Tuthill. So how was that section, you know, from Turkey Butte, Cinder Pit, like pretty flat, pretty runnable, for the most part. you know, were you coming back around again at that point, or was it kind of just attrition all the way to the end?
Yeah. Well, first I want to shout out the volunteers at the Turkey Butte aid station. They were amazing. And I ate so many bean burritos, all the food. They just showered us with food. It was so great. So thank you, volunteers at Turkey Butte. You were fun. Yeah, it was very runnable. However, my feet were really killing me. And at that point, my lip was really sunburnt too. My bottom lip was huge. I was using a buff to keep it covered, and I had been putting an SPF chapstick on from day one. It just wasn't enough, I guess. And all of that sun and wearing a hat. So I don't know. From now on, I will definitely wear a buff sooner in the desert. Plus the dust situation. I don't know if anyone else has talked to you about dust and sinuses, but by the end of each day, my throat and nose were getting just so clogged that when I did try to sleep, it was almost scary. So I was like, am I going to stop breathing in my sleep? Like the dust was intense. So take precaution early for dust and sun on your face. Check. So from really like Tut Hill on, it was a roller coaster. You know, I feel really good. I would be able to forget about what the blisters in my feet feel like, recognize the fact that, oh, it's just your feet. It's just blisters. You're not going to break yourself if you push through this pain. It's just going to hurt. Like mentally sucking that pain up and running would happen. But then at some point, the pain would kick in and you had to kind of re-coach yourself into the suck up mode.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that whole thing that you're saying about to go back a little bit, like the dust and everything, like that is something that I've been hearing from talking to a lot of people. And it's something I've experienced myself. It's just, I can't imagine the buildup of that over that many miles. It's probably even more intense than anything I've ever experienced. But I know like Maggie like lost her voice and like after the race, and I've heard talking to a few more runners, like they definitely were experiencing some of the same things. So yeah, there's a lot of things to consider. It's not just the heat, it's not just the cold. So yeah, that's Cocodona. But yeah. I am super stoked because I got to after checking in with you virtually, you know, on the live stream over the first few days, I got to see you come up over Eldon in person, and you were in pretty fantastic spirits. I will say you looked a little dazed, as to be expected. You were at over 240 miles in, but you were like ready to go. You're like, let's do this. You want to talk about, I'm assuming you remember
yes,
to talk about how that aid station stop went. I mean, Peter Mortimer was there serving up steaks and beers, and you had an interesting strategy, and it was super awesome. So talk about coming into Eldon Aid.
God, Eldon was the ultimate high. I mean, I loved the climb up it. I actually saw Jeff Browning on the start of my climb, and he gave me a fist bump, and I didn't recognize him, but my pacer did, and that was a power up for sure. And the whole climb was great. And I knew I was chasing sunset, so that's exciting too. And I'm just, and I get to the crest, and who do I see? Rob, my, you know, my live stream check-in buddy in person. So that was wild. And I knew when I got to the top, there was rumor that there was steak and beer up there. So I knew that I was going to at least get a beer from somebody. And who gave me a beer? Peter Mortimer, second place male. What? Mind blown. And yeah, it was just to get up there and still be, yeah, I probably looked stoned because that's what I felt like, honestly. Like I was dazed for sure. But to be that coherent and to catch sunset on the top of Eldon was, my heart is pumping thinking about it. It was so fun. It was such an accomplishment. I knew that I had just under 9 miles downhill to go, and all I had to do was suck up really swollen ankles and blistered feet and a stinging sunburned lip to get there. And I did, and drank that beer and just ran I think I even did an Instagram live on the way down and couldn't properly like save it because I was just fumbling with my phone wanting to keep going. So yeah, it was a blast. When I got into Flagstaff, it got even better because Drew Fraze and his girlfriend met me on their bikes and bike escorted me in for the last 12 blocks or whatever that was to get to the finish line. And so that was just such an amazing way to end a race. And I really did feel good. Nothing was sore. My legs weren't sore. My arms weren't sore. It was just like blistered. I mean, as far as muscle soreness goes, it was just like sore blisters and a sore lip. And that was, it was frustrating because I knew I had more in the tank. So I was able to use as much as I could of it on that Eldon uphill, downhill rumble.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely, it was pretty cool to watch. You really, I think you spent less than 10 minutes in that aid station. And you pounded, maybe you didn't have the whole thing, but you definitely downed a decent amount of PBR. And then you hit that sunset section. And then Howie Stern, you were talking about getting sunset, like Howie Stern, one of the photographers out there, like proceeds to get probably one of the best photos of the entire, race. I'm sure you saw that one of you, right?
Yeah. I can't wait to buy it. Like waiting for these pictures to come out. Cause I know there's some really good ones.
Yeah, the photographers, Howie, Scott, and Eliza definitely had a ton of fun out there. They captured like 20,000 photos each, I think. So
amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, and then seeing you at the finish too, you know, we got to see you come in and yeah, it was just so awesome to, because like there was no doubt, us in the studio, like following you too, like we had no doubt that you were going to finish strong. It was like, so it was so cool to like get to see that in person. And I chatted with, Jason, I think like hours after it on DMing, and he's like, she's already plotting and planning for the next one. So
yeah,
I gotta ask,
like, what's wrong with my brain? Like, why? I really thought that maybe I would be able to retire from running after this, but nope, still hooked. Yeah, that finish was great. I was ready to party in Flagstaff. Until I sat down and then I was ready to go to sleep. But yeah, Flagstaff's cool too. Like, don't want to breeze past that. Like, we were able to go to Pizza Cletta and Dark Sky Brewing after, and just like, what a great place to finish a race. Seriously.
Yeah, it really is. You get like the full experience. It's like, it's, if you're going to end a race of any distance, especially 255 miles anywhere, if you're going to end it, Flagstaff is probably the best place to do it. So
yeah, it was fun. I was glad that I could still walk to enjoy it. What's next? So, you know, I really would have loved to have podium at Cocodona, and I firmly believe that I am absolutely strong enough to do so, and that learning what we just discussed about not putting ice in your socks and figuring out a sleep strategy that keeps you moving forward with vigor is kind of what I need to hone in on to achieve that in my next run. I don't know what it will be exactly. Some 200 plus miler needs to get on my calendar for, you know, before 2021, whatever year it is over. I definitely will be going out and hitting the Lost Coast Trail in Northern California and trying to get that FKT. It's 56 miles, so a fraction of Cocodona.
Yeah, one day of Cocodona, essentially.
Yeah.
Will you be going for that supported or unsupported or self-supported?
I think it will be supported, and it might just be Jason and I running it together, and he'll be my support, or we'll call that like a mixed gender self-supported. I gotta re-look at the FKT guidelines, but I think it will be the two of us. There's a section where you have to time the tides, and if you miss it, then you're screwed for like 7 hours. So it's a big logistic play there where you got to get across this one section in time or you'll be smashed against some rocks. So I would prefer to have company through that part, at least for the first time doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Some extra strategy in there. So that sounds like it'll be a fun one. Obviously. And that's, what part of California is that?
It's somewhere in Northern California. I think the trail ends towards like Humboldt County. So
okay, cool.
Pretty far up there.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, I guess with that said, is there anything else you want to talk about, whether it's related to Coca Dona or anything else you want people to know about you?
I really enjoyed this race. It was wild. I met so many amazing people along the way, whether they were also running it or they're just individuals that slipped into my DMs in response to an Instagram story. And that is exciting. There is a very cool trail community out there that I look forward to getting more involved with. The people out there, like anyone that I spend any time on trail with, like, thank you for being a like-minded individual who also just enjoys getting after it in nature. That's like, it doesn't get any better than that, really.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly said. Yeah, the community around Coca Dona and just ultra running and being outdoors in general is definitely something else. It's really unlike anything else in the world. So, I guess with that said, is there any, where could people find you online? I know you've got your new YouTube channel, so definitely want people to check that out. So tell the people your website, your socials, all that stuff.
I'm Shelbs F on Instagram, 2 Z's, S-H-E-L-B-Z-Z-F. And same thing on YouTube. Website, shelbsf.com. It's not that exciting right now, but who knows where it will go. And really huge thank you to my crew and Pacers too. I can't even imagine dealing with me for 5 days through that. And hopefully I was nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, it looked like they were having a good time from weird. Our perspective. So yeah.
Yeah. They had some squirt guns going and, I picked up a cool little souvenir in Flagstaff that I can't wait to get in the mail for them. Per Ben Light's suggestion on our previous podcast, he was like, make sure you have a plan to thank your crew and Pacer. So I do.
That's awesome.
It's coming.
Oh, it's just, if you were on her crew, stay tuned for that. Shelby, thank you so much. And thank you to you. And then of course, thank you to Gooder. Like we had a lot of fun trying out all those Gooder sunglasses, and hopefully if people, I guess, you know, that the code is still good through the end of the month. So Coco Loco, buy two, get the third 50% off. So I definitely stocked up on some Gooders. So
Oh, good. Yeah. Coco Loco, go crazy.
Awesome. Thanks, Shelby.
Thank you so much.
All right, that does it for today's episode. Thanks again for tuning in. Everyone here at Steep Lap Media and Aravipa Running is constantly working on bringing more content like this to you. So be sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss a thing. Also, if you have some time, consider writing us a review. It really does help us out. And if video is your thing, check out our YouTube channels for Aravipa Running, Run Steep, Get High, and Mountain Outpost. Lots more to come there as well, including the Coca Dona 250 documentary, which has been in the works now for a few weeks, and we are excited to release it soon. So stay tuned to our social media channels for updates when that is released. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you on the next episode.